This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is our number two of the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi. Fun first hour. We thank Mike Triplett of NewOrleans.football, who joined us on the other side, talking some New Orleans Saints there and the expectations heading into the season. We do have a fun second hour on deck for you guys as well. Mike Pritchard, VSiN NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the league. He'll join us in 30 minutes. We'll also have the odds for the college football top 25. The AP top 25 was released today. So college football already on the mind. Make sure you get that VSiN college football betting guide in addition to the VSiN NFL betting guide, which has been out for about 6 weeks to 2 months now. But before we continue further, let's step into Michael Lombardi's office.
The appointments are lined up.
You waiting for somebody in there?
Got an appointment.
And it's not about what you want to hear, but what you need to hear.
It's not personal. It's strictly business.
It's time you and me had a private talk winger. Step into my office.
It's Step Into My Office with Michael Lombardi. Mr. Lombardi, we'll see you now.
And Mr. Lombardi, we'll see 49ers quarterback Trey Lance. Lance is going to the office, Michael Lombardi. What do you got to say to him?
Well, look, I think it's really important that at this point in your career, you just have to find a way to get better at something. And every day, work on improving in that area. Because forget about the expectations that people put on you. Forget about where you got drafted. You know, you've got two more years where you know you're going to be on a team. And all that really you can control is showing improvement from one day to the next day to the next day, and not try to get caught up in the big picture. You don't have to worry about, I got to learn the whole offense. You got to learn certain things that you can do really well. And I wouldn't give up the battle yet. I would just continue to work on improving in the areas where you feel you could improve, which is decision making, which is take as many mental reps as you can get. And when you run the scout team, which you'll run this fall, just really, really focus on giving the defense a great look, being really accurate, and taking those reps as gold, because they are for you in your career. They're gold. And there's been a lot of guys before you, and there'll be guys after you that have struggled. Geno Smith up in the Northwest, no one struggled more than he did. Expectations, even though he was only a second-round pick, and then he bounced around. So, look, we know this, that you're not going to start for the Niners this year. And you're not ready to start. It's not fair to start you. So let's take these reps that you get as gold and try to improve a little bit each day.
Yeah. The quarterback competition stuff, it's almost like Lance needs to be in a competition with himself to improve each and every day.
That's
and
right.
And one day, then be able to, when that chance comes up, like how Geno Smith got, he's ready to go and ready to go ahead and lead a franchise. All right. Paging Mr. Frank Reich. Going to Michael Lombardi's office. Frank Reich.
Frank. I mean, like, seriously, you're lucky Al Davis doesn't own this team. Because if he'd owned this team and he drafted Bryce Young and gave up all those assets and you treated him like a quarterback that had no value, I'm not sure you would have been here today. In fact, I got a text from a former Raider employee that said Frank Wright would have been fired for insubordination. And he's right. And he's right, had he worked at the Raiders. Like, that, I got that text. I'll read it to you, Frank. Like, what were you watching? Like, at some point, you have to change the script. At some point, you have to recognize your job is to make the decisions on the field based on what you're seeing, not based on what you planned. And that's really important. And I think you haven't done enough of a self-evaluation, because you're 0-4-1 in week one games with the Colts. You have been a disaster in week one. Your team's not ready to play. So, and it looked like your team wasn't ready to play in week one of the preseason. So I think you need to do a self-reflection. I think you need to kind of come back to yourself and say, what am I doing wrong? And listen to some hard conversations, because, look, you know, if you want to continue to have this job, you work for a man who's a billionaire. Just because you got a four-year contract, you think he's not going to fire you? He fired Matt Rhule after two-plus seasons, and Matt Rhule had a seven-year deal. So you better get it going, because there is expectations, and his prized possession is that quarterback who you disrespected and allowed him to get the crap beat out of him.
Yeah. You would hope that Frank Reich would have learned from these slow starts in Indianapolis. It appears he has not with what we saw in the preseason. Just one game, maybe they make progress, but it was not a good start for Frank Reich in his regime in Carolina. All right, let's get to another young quarterback. What's the message to C.J. Stroud?
Look, you know, everybody struggles in the first game of the year. You know, it's not going to be easy. That's why you're here. It's going to be challenging. Again, work on what you can work on. Improve. You're going to get a ton of reps. Trust your eyes, and you've got to get your arm and feet wired together. If you see the guy open on the out, just throw it. Like, don't overthink it. Play relaxed. And the only way you could play relaxed is if you really understand what you're doing on the field. So those mental reps and physical reps are really important. They're really going to be important. And the smaller the game plan, the better off it will be for you. I think there's no question. But you got to continue to work on what you see. And you got to remember, this is a fast game. And if you're going to stare down receivers, the free safety is going to pick you off every time. So just be aware of that. Like, we're not playing Indiana this week. We're not playing Michigan State this week, right? We're playing in the NFL. And those free safeties look at your shoulders. They look at your eyes. And you're going to have to move them. And you're going to have to feel comfortable moving them because you know where you're going with the ball. This is about preparation. Your talent can only become talented when you're fully prepared. Last week, you did not look prepared. You got to improve on that.
This is Step Into My Office, rolling along here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Up next, Shane Steichen, head coach of the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts have been making a lot of headlines over the last few weeks. What does Steichen need to hear?
I think Steichen needs to hear you're doing a good job. I mean, I think you're doing the right thing with Jonathan Taylor. And I think you're doing the right thing with Richardson. He needs reps. We all know it, right? I think the key for Shane Steichen, for you to have a good season, is Gus Bradley's got to have a good defensive team. You got to be right that Gus Bradley's good defensive coach. You got to make sure that the defense can bail you out at times, because you're going to be a work in progress on offense. I think what you need to understand, Shane, is right now you've had 2 weeks of your team. You've played one game. You kind of know who you are on offense. And so you got to know how you're going to play and how that playing is going to relate to the personnel that you have. And then the Jonathan Taylor situation, I think you've handled perfectly. Send him off the campus. Don't let him interact with the people. Don't let him be toxic. But when he comes back and he's cleared to play, if once he looks like he's trying to hurt the team, you got to suspend him for conduct detrimental. You can't back down to that. You're going to have to show the team, as the leader of the team, that you're not going to allow this guy to destroy the team because his agents convinced him this is the best path to go. It's the same thing that the agent convinced J.K. Dobbins. This is what's going on in the league. And as the leader, you got to stand up and you got to protect your team, not necessarily protect Jonathan Taylor.
Jonathan Taylor, after being away to rehab that ankle, is back in Indianapolis there at Colts training camp, but he remains on PUP and his stance has not changed. That is from NFL Network's Ian Rapoport. The last person heading into the office, James Harden, star point guard for the Philadelphia 76ers.
Well, look, James, I don't doubt what you said is true, because it never made sense to me that you would take a pay cut to sign PJ Tucker and other players without a promise or at least an understanding that you would have that you would opt out of your deal and we would enter into a new 4-year deal or a new 3-year deal with more money. To me, that's how I read last summer. I'm reading it that way today. I understand where you are. I think your best bet would be to not necessarily deal with this in the media, but I would deal with this with Josh Harris. The minute you get back from China, you should go meet with Josh Harris. You should go present the evidence that you believe you've been lied to, and show him that, and then just tell him he needs to make a deal. Now, look, they're going to suspend you. They're going to fine you. They have all the rights because you opted back into a contract. So technically, they own your rights. And you're at a point where your career, where I don't think you're as loved by everybody in the league as you think you are. You know, I don't think you're the elite player that you think you are. You should know that. Because when you were going to opt out of the deal, but you found out nobody was willing to pay you more than what this deal was. That's pretty revealing, James. That's pretty revealing. You couldn't make any more money in the open market. You thought Houston was going to pay you. They didn't want to pay you. The Clippers could have paid you had you opted out, but you couldn't because nobody was going to pay you that money. At some point, as much as Maury lied to you, you got to look in the mirror too and say, okay, I'm not the same player I once was, and my expectations need to go tempered down. Two people, there's only two people on the planet that still think you're a good player. Maury and you. They're the only two people that think you're an elite player. Everybody else in the league doesn't buy it.
That is, step into my office here on a Monday.
Was that a little too harsh on you? Was that a little too hard? How did you handle that one there? I mean, I know you're the you're very, you know, you're the lawyer for all of them. But, I mean.
I thought it was very pointed criticism and pointed advice for a lot of these guys. I mean, I'm not a Harden guy, so you're not going to get me out here putting the wig on for my man James Harden. So that's not an issue for me. But I thought
Harden thing to me is pretty clear, right?
Yeah.
You could say no. I've been around too many players, and what causes discontent is you've been promised. I mean, Taylor thinks he was promised something. I don't know what he was. The owner made it clear. I really believe, Femi, that Maury would have paid Harden, but I think somebody stopped Maury from paying him.
Mm.
And I think it's the owner. I think Maury would have extended him for 3 years and felt nothing to it, right? Because Maury still thinks he's an elite player. That's why Maury's sitting there saying, I'm not going to take less for him. Then, you know, he's not worth it. Nobody sees him the way Maury sees him. There's only two people in the world that see this guy as an elite player, Maury and Harden.
So Maury necessarily kind of has to fall on the sword. If it's like, let's say it came from above that said, hey, Daryl, you cannot pay this guy that kind of money. He sort of has to fall on the sword.
We're not paying him. And I'm not paying that guy that kind of money. I don't care if you have it in your car. I'm not committing this team to 4 years of that money. I think that's what happened. I can't prove it, but just knowing what I know about being an executive, I think that's what happened.
Maybe it ended a friendship between Harden and Maury. All right, we'll do Pick Your Poison on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Throughout the NFL preseason, the VSiN experts are busy evaluating every team to give you the betting edge. Our updated NFL betting guide is due out later this month and will help you get ahead of the upcoming NFL season with picks from every on-air host, team-specific preseason analysis, how to use VSiN betting splits, and football contest strategies. Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today for as low as $19 and reserve your copy of the guide or take advantage of our football season special and get access to everything we do through the Super Bowl for only $199. Sign up today at VSiN.com/subscribe. Well, the deals keep rolling in here at VSiN.com. Make sure folks are taking advantage of that football season less than a month away. College football week zero, less than 2 weeks away. We are humming along here on VSiN. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Michael Lombardi out in New Jersey. Femi Abebefe hanging out here in Las Vegas. Mike Pritchard will join us 15 minutes from now. Our VSiN NFL analyst also played nearly a decade in the National Football League. We'll talk some preseason with Mike Pritchard. But before we get back to the NFL, Michael, let's give one last update to the AP Top 25 poll that was released earlier this morning. The Georgia Bulldogs, your two-time defending national champions, are the number one ranked team in the poll. Michigan at number two, Ohio State three, Alabama 4, LSU 5, USC is at 6, Penn State number 7, Florida State, a lot of expectations in Tallahassee this year. They're number 8, Clemson 9, and my beloved Washington Huskies rounding out the top 10 there. But, Michael, I almost kind of think that this, when we hit the preseason polls.
I thought, what happened to Tennessee? I thought they were in this.
They're in the teens. I believe they're 12. They're 12, I believe, is where Tennessee is.
Okay. Yeah. I thought we had them higher rated. Okay. Yeah.
But I think from to me, when I look at the preseason polls, and we put up the odds right next to their numbers as well, just to kind of get the comparison to it. But the preseason poll almost, Michael, is like, this is the perception. And then the odds is almost like, as of this moment right now, heading into the season, this is more so the reality.
Well, I think, you know, it's interesting. Both Ohio State and Alabama have questions at quarterback. Who is going to be their quarterback, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we won't know that until the next couple weeks unfold. I mean, LSU's a popular pick. I'm shocked that USC at 14-1 is so low, especially with they have the Heisman Trophy winner coming back in Caleb Williams. Can they be better? Penn State's the other one. I mean, uncertainty at quarterback because they're going to start a young player, but they're a good team. Everybody, if you like Florida State at 18-1, you could pick them to win the ACC. A lot of people do.
Yeah, a lot of people do like Florida State. Get this, though. from Brett McMurphy, who covers college football for the Action Network. He tweeted this out about 30 minutes ago. It says, if you don't like the preseason top 25, don't worry. It will change drastically. Last year, only 10 schools started season in the preseason top 25 and finished the year in the AP top 25 poll. So we know that these preseason top 25s are fun for conversation, for content, to get folks excited, but we still have yet to see these teams play. We all have our perceptions, but we know that things tend to go a little bit differently once we actually get the games later on in the fall. So don't sweat it right now. It's, you know, there's still the perception stage, but the reality is coming in a few weeks here for a lot of these teams.
You know, I think even more so than ever before, because of the transfer portal.
100%.
And because of, you know, we don't really know what's going on in spring. I think these AP, I think they're all just a joke. I don't know if you can make any sense of any of them. I think they're just putting the blue bloods in there, right? I think they're just like, I'm surprised Texas isn't in this, right?
They're 11.
I'm sure Texas is probably in the they're 11th. They just missed it,
just
right?
Just missed the cut.
Like Washington at 40-1. I mean, Washington got a really good quarterback. Kalen DeBoer's a good coach. Mm-hmm. You know, they bring back a lot of their team. That's why I like, to me, I like Tennessee because their defense is all coming back, right? I don't know about Joe Milton if he's going to be good enough. But, you know, of all the teams there, Michigan at 8-1. I mean, Michigan's a good team, and they've got a lot of good players. And they've got two running backs, their quarterback stability. They're a good team.
Yeah. No, it's Michigan. I know you went out and visited them at Ann Arbor last week there. So you got to see Harbaugh and the Wolverines, the two-time Big Ten defending champions there. Texas is interesting because, like, Texas always has a lot of hype heading into the season. They're number 11. Notre Dame is 13. Some of the other blue bloods. How about Oregon State? Number 18 in the preseason. Jonathan Smith, what they're doing out there in Corvallis. And then the team that everybody loves in Wisconsin at number 19.
Look, if he turns DJ around, right, I mean, what does that say about Clemson's offensive staff, right? And Jonathan Smith's a really good offensive coach, and DJ never looked like the five-star great quarterback at Clemson that we all expected. You know, we thought that torch was going from Trevor Lawrence to DJ as easy as it could be, and it never manifested itself at all. So I'm really excited to watch this Oregon State program because I think Smith is a really good coach. It's unfortunate that there's no conference that they could play in right now.
Yeah, that's a whole nother situation. This being the last year of the Pac-12, and it's a shame because there's so many Pac. I mean, you're talking about USC, Washington, Utah, Oregon. Oregon State are all in the top 25. They're all in the top 20. And yet the Pac-12 conference is dissolving. So that just goes to show you the state of West Coast football, which saddens my heart being a West Coast guy. Let's talk, though, some NFL and play a little pick your poison. Which scenario is more likely? Our producer, Elliot Bowman, put this together. He always loves putting together some of these fun prompts that I think are really good for the content-wise. But this first one is near and dear to my heart, of course, the Dallas Cowboys. And get this, Michael, which scenario is more likely? Dallas to lead the league in regular season wins at 11-1, or Dak Prescott to lead the league in interceptions at 10-1.
I'm going to go lead the league in wins at 11-1.
Hey-o!
I mean, like everybody, like sometimes, I mean, sometimes those interceptions for Dak weren't his fault. Like this narrative just keeps coming away and running away with itself. Like Dak isn't a guy that can't read coverages or makes mistakes. Like, you know, sometimes he makes poor decisions, like all quarterbacks. Yep. But sometimes the receivers don't catch the ball. The ball gets tipped up in the air like it's a volleyball game, and it gets picked off. You know, it's like, again, I mean, yesterday, the perfect example of it is yesterday's game. Aiden O'Connell's quarterback rating was 117. You know, Trey Lance's was 111. If anybody who has any vision at all watch the game, there was a gap between the two players on how they played. A huge gap.
Mm-hmm.
So sometimes stats are a little misleading.
Yeah, the one that sickens me is that game against Jacksonville in overtime when Dak, it was a third down play.
That wasn't his fault.
It throws it right to Noah Brown, and Noah Brown, it was almost as if it was his job to tap it up into the air to the defender for the Jaguars, and he runs it back for a game-winning touchdown. Like, that stuff, it's like, what do you want him to do there? You know, the guys have got to catch the ball and make a play. This next one, though, this will be fun. What's more likely, Michael Lombardi, and pick your poison, the Chicago Bears to win 10 games or more at plus 250, or the Bears to lose 12 games or more at plus 270?
Oh, I'm going to go 12 game, lose 12. I don't see how the Bears are going to win 10 games. I don't think they're better on defense. I really don't. I think the Eberflus scheme is all about defensive front. It's all about the defensive linemen. You know, they passed on Jalen Carter. They wanted to pick Jalen Carter. We know that. Mm-hmm. But they got concerned about it, and then they made the trade, which kept them out of it. Now, they could have traded up to get Jalen Carter, right? They could have traded back up to get him, but they didn't. And so, you know, I don't see this defensive front dominating. I know they signed the two linebackers. Edmonds didn't play. Edwards did. I don't think that's going to make a difference. Look, it's all about creating turnovers for Eberflus. I listened to the broadcast the other day when it was on, and they talked about, like, the Colts had this unbelievable defense. No, wait a minute. The Colts gave up a lot of yards. They just turned the ball. They were good at turning the ball over, right? Mm-hmm. Can the Bears turn the ball over? I don't know. I don't see them winning 10 games. I think it's more likely they lose 12.
Yeah, well, it's plus 270 for those who want to go ahead and bet it and fade the Bears' optimism this offseason. This next one is spicy. What's more likely, Washington Commanders make the playoffs at plus 290 or Ron Rivera is fired midseason?
Wow. I mean, look, there's really no excuse for Washington not to make the playoffs. If they manage the quarterback correctly, they should. I would go plus 290 on making the playoffs. Mm. I don't trust them. I have a lot of doubts about their head coach, about his leadership. Clearly, that came to fruition in the whole Bieniemy thing. Mm-hmm. He doesn't, you know, I don't know what Ron does. You know, it's Del Rio does this and Bieniemy does that, and the special, I don't know what he does. So, but they have a good enough team. It's really, to me, would be a mistake to think that they can't make it. Look, they beat Philly last year. They turned the ball over. They beat Philly at home, mm-hmm. right? They had opportunities to win a bunch of games and got no play from the quarterback. People say, well, they got Sam Howell, a quarterback. How is it? Look, Sam Howell can't be any worse than Carson Wentz. Let me just say that to you.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I was ready to go to war with this team here throughout this offseason. Like, we had talked about how this is a really good roster. It's not as bad as people think. The win total at 6.5 doesn't make a whole lot of sense. And then we had Rivera's comments in the exposing the lack of leadership. And now I'm just sitting on the sidelines. I'm not looking to actively fade this team, but I don't want to tie up anything mid-season as well. I know this is a little bit of a cop-out for me here, but I think it's a team that you just play game to game. Like, they should make the playoffs, like you said. This team is good enough to do that, but I don't know if Rivera is trustworthy. Like he doesn't seem to have it together, or maybe he just doesn't have the proper vision to go ahead and lead this team into the postseason. But it's a team that I wouldn't necessarily fade either because there's a lot of talent on that roster. We'll ask Mike Pritchard this question. Mike Pritchard on the other side. Commanders to make the playoffs or Rivera to be fired midseason. We'll also talk about some other preseason news and notes from around the National Football League. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abefefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Power ratings, picks, previews, predictions, pro, as in VSiN Pro. Become a subscriber and get an all-access pass to our betting tools, betting splits, and 2023 college football and NFL betting guides. Both the college football guide and our NFL betting guide will have you ready to turn a profit on the gridiron this year. The only way to get the guides and everything we have to offer is to become a VSiN Pro subscriber, and you can do exactly that at VSiN.com/subscribe. We are rolling along here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abefefe, Michael Lombardi, and joining us right now to get into some preseason news and notes, we welcome in VSiN NFL analyst Mike Pritchard, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick, and also a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes back in the early 90s. Pritch, before we get into some of your preseason takeaways, we wanted to pose this hypothetical scenario to you because we talked about it in the last segment. What's more likely? Washington Commanders make the playoffs, that pays out plus 290, or Ron Rivera to be fired midseason?
I know that was coming at me. Jimmy, I'm good to be with you. You know what? The selfishness in me would love to see the assistant head coach assume the role as a head coach, and that means Ron Rivera would be fired, right? He's had a losing season ever since he's been in Washington, even though he's won a division. I think making the playoffs is really optimistic at this point, considering where the NFC is at. You know, to get four teams, or perhaps so close to four teams, even three teams, from one division. That's difficult. Therefore, I think the door is open for him to be let go. I mean, I think Ron Rivera already showed signs of being threatened a little bit because of what he did to Eric Bieniemy. So I think if you're going to ask me this question right now today, with all the feelings I have inside me, it's more likely that he gets fired than make the playoffs.
What are you tempted at all? I mean, they have a better team than 6.5 win total, don't you think, Mike?
You know what? I do. And I believe in Eric Bieniemy and the people that he has on the offensive side of the ball. I mean, even if you look at the quarterback situation, I think what has happened, though, is, you know, they fired defensive coaches last year. And, you know, I don't know if the building is all on the same page. And that's tough. When you have different areas of the building, whether it's upstairs, whether it's in the locker room, whether it's on the coach's wing or the executive wing, and everybody's not on the same page. And with new ownership, you know, you try to get everybody on the same page, and you certainly evaluate everything. You certainly look at everything. And so with that team under a microscope, with that coaching staff, and in particular the head coach under a microscope, it feels like they're not, they're better than that, what you said, Michael, but it feels like they might underachieve and go below expectations.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like there's still some dysfunction, even though they removed Daniel Snyder and have a new owner with Josh Harris there. We're speaking with Mike Pritchard there, VSiN NFL analyst, former NFL wide receiver, played nearly a decade in the league. All right, Pritch, let's get to some of your takeaways from week one in the preseason. What really jumped out to you?
Well, I mean, established standards really stood out to me, Femi. I mean, and this is things that, you know, you can rely on as a better. I mean, I think when you have the entire roster, 1 through 90 at this point, too, playing at a higher level than expected, executing at a higher level, I think the standard is entrenched. Like, you know, Seattle, that was interesting to see them. Pittsburgh, that was interesting to see them as well. Obviously, the Ravens continue to win in the preseason. But, you know, these other teams in transition, or these other teams that's trying to establish a standard or play up to a standard or be consistent with the standard, you hope that those signs will move on into the regular season as well. I mean, I think there's a team out there that surprised a lot of people with a certain standard, and that's the Raiders, the Las Vegas Raiders. Mm-hmm. And it coincides with something that we talked about last week in terms of joint practices and the information coming out of joint practices. And how to use that information to bet on these preseason games as well.
Yeah, I thought the Raiders, I'm looking for execution, Mike. I don't know how you felt. Mm-hmm. Forget who's playing in the game. You know, last year, the Giants, for example, they completed 105 passes last summer. The year before, when Joe Judge was the coach, they only completed 55. So that tells you their execution was incredibly better, right? So I thought the Raiders' execution was really good. I thought Jacksonville's execution was really good. You know, even though they were, you know, they played their starters, you know, New Orleans' execution was really, to me, that's kind of what I'm looking for, whether they play their starters or not.
Exactly, exactly. The execution, you know, I think when you have a certain standard, you're going to try to reach that standard each and every day. And you're the perfect example of that, Michael, because of what was established in San Francisco, certainly. And that was something that everybody in the league heard, you know, in terms of the standard and how to practice and certainly living up to that standard. And that's a dynasty, right? And I think teams are always trying to reach that or create or set a tone even in the midst of preseason. So what you mentioned right there, you know, starting your starters and Trevor Lawrence playing and executing and making sure that you're living up to a certain standard. I saw examples of that all across the league, whether the starters played or certainly, you know, you look at the backups and the situations where I saw the backups playing up to a certain standard or exceeding a standard. Those are the ones that stood out. And certainly I followed it away for the regular season.
Well, this is a question for both of you guys, Pritch and Michael. Conversely, should then bettors be looking to fade teams that did not execute in the preseason? This is just 1 week right now, and maybe we'll see stuff happen a little bit later on in the regular season. But just from a week one standpoint, coming up here now less than a month, should you look to fade some of these teams that don't look like they're ready to go right out the gate from what you've seen in the preseason?
Well, you know, for me, I think, like, the new situations, too, whether it's a new play caller or a new offense coordinator or a new quarterback or something like that, I scratch my head. Like, for instance, Mac Jones, you know, they got a new coordinator. Why didn't he play? Like a series or two, you know, just get your feet wet or whatever. You know, Dak, you know, I get it. You know, McCarthy's been there, but he's calling plays now. And that's different than it has been. And, you know, Herbert, you know, things like that. And Lamar Jackson, even things like that. It's like, okay, why didn't they play? I'm curious about that. Ritter, you know, Garoppolo obviously hurt. Rodgers still and you know, Hurts. I mean, there's continuity there, but then also there's newness because, you know, you got a new offense coordinator in Philly. So I thought that preseason would be a great time to kind of iron things out for that execution and certainly during a game. But if you get a lot of work done in those joint practices, then maybe these franchises are happy with the progress already.
Yeah, I agree with that. Mike, let me ask you this question. What did you think of the Ravens' new offense you know, I know they were playing Huntley and Lamar wasn't in the game, but you could see they're changing their offense. Now, today, finally, J.K. Dobbins is off of PUP, so maybe he will actually participate. I don't know, but they passed him on his physical. But what did you think of the new offense?
You know what? I like it. I mean, Michael, I think, you know, when you're looking at the Ravens and you worry about a change in offense or change of philosophy, and, you know, Lamar Jackson has hinted at this too. The short passing game or precision passing game or an efficient passing game is certainly a means to winning a championship. And then certainly we know the Ravens, and this is that standard, like in the trenches, that's something you can rely on. I think as a bettor, you go into a game, any game for the Ravens, and you rely on the trenches and that they're going to get the job done. They're not going to get dominated in any fashion that way. But can they execute on the wings and can they execute when they need to in particular certain areas? So I think if you have more options offensively, that makes it more difficult for defense. You know, taking away Lamar Jackson and his ability to make big plays, okay, now you got to worry about Lamar in the pocket and certainly a position passing game, getting the ball out quickly to a lot of playmakers. So, you know, that's what they're working towards and that's what they're trying to achieve. And if they get to that point, if they are executing at a high level, Michael and Femi, then you look at the Ravens as one of those teams that's going to contend this year.
Yeah, right now that Ravens team win total 9.5, minus 165 to make the playoffs, plus 220 to win the AFC North. He is Mike Pritchard. Make sure you check him out all across the network here at VSiN and our lead NFL analyst. Played nearly a decade in the NFL, obviously a national champion with the Colorado Buffs from the early 90s. Pritch, hope all is well. We will talk soon, but until then, be well, man.
Hey, you guys.
Thanks, Mike.
Look forward to, thank you very much. And I look forward to seeing you Friday, Timmy.
Seasons are humming along. We're humming along here. The off season, the preseason, the regular season's about to start coming up here in less than a few weeks here. But Lombardi, what did you make of it? I mean, it's an interesting point that he brings up there about some of these quarterbacks, even though they're established, but with new play callers, you feel like you'd want to kind of iron some of those things out with actual game live bullets going at them.
Well, I think in New England's case, they know they're going to practice against Green Bay and Tennessee. So you make a decision, either you play in the game or you practice against the team. I think that's the way they go there. Those practices are really important. They're really important. That's why I'm sure Garoppolo, they practiced against them. They're taking it slow. They got the Rams this week. So I think that's really where it came from.
All right. Well, we'll wrap up the show with right move or wrong move, looking at some NFL Week 1 markets here on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, unleashes the spirit of Las Vegas with BetMGM Rewards. Every time you make a wager at BetMGM, you can earn BetMGM Rewards points you can redeem for online bonus credits like bonus bets and bet insurance tokens. Planning a trip to Vegas, you can also convert your BetMGM points into MGM Rewards points that you can use towards dining, shows, and hotel rooms at over 20 MGM Resorts properties located on the Las Vegas Strip. and nationwide. Sign up with BetMGM or log on today. Get an even bigger piece of the action with BetMGM Rewards. Eligibility restrictions apply. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. Must be 21 years of age or older to wager. New and existing customer offer. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire in 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Welcome back. This is the final segment of the Lombardi Line. We are presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe, Michael Lombardi. It's been fun over these last couple hours here on a Monday morning for us out on the West Coast, Monday afternoon for the East Coast viewers and listeners. But we thank our two guests that we had on the program, Mike Triplett, Saints reporter for NewOrleans.football, and then, of course, Mike Pritchard, VSiN NFL analyst, who joined us in the last segment. Thank you to both of them. But, Mike, before we continue forward, let's give out our pro tip for the day, and this has to do with what we've talked about throughout the show, and then Pritch also drove the point home as well, is that these teams that execute at a high level, despite the backups being in, the second and third stringers being in as well, maybe consider betting on some of these teams early on, because clearly something is going well at training camp and they should be good to go to start the season.
Yeah, and I would add too is, you know, especially when we have documentation of what teams do week one. For example, you know, if their execution is good this year, go back and see what their execution was like last preseason and in the first week. Because that's really going to tell a tale, right? That's going to tell you a lot. It's not going to tell you who's going to win the game. I mean, look, one of the things I think we haven't discussed is, you know, the kicker in Cleveland, Cade York, hasn't been very good. They drafted him in the fourth round. Moody, the kid from Michigan, who they have a lot of high hopes for, was a great kicker for Michigan last year. Missed two kicks. One of them was from a far distance. But still, you know, you got to factor that into the equation as well. What's the kickers like in some of these teams that you're thinking about betting? Because let's face it, all these games come down to that kick to cover or not.
Yeah, the kicking game, as many bets that are won and lost based on kickers or even missed extra points and all that stuff, those are always adventures, especially early on in the season. So keep those things in mind. Always be evaluating. Once again, I think the overall general point from preseason football, because we do see like the overreactions are had because, hey, we've all been starving for football, and now we get a data point and we want to kind of react to it. But it's like you want to take some things away, but not take too much away and completely change your mind on a team or whatever based on what you see in the preseason. Just store some little nuggets here and there along the way to help out the handicap, not change the handicap, I feel like.
I think what we have to remind people that you are in the data collection part of the handicapping. Like it's not time to make a decision, positively or negatively. You're still in data collection. And when you're in data collection, it's hard to remain non-biased. It's hard not to jump to conclusions. It's easier to do it on quarterbacks that don't play well in the preseason or have experience. Okay, you get that. But I think what you have to do is remind yourself you're in the data collection business right now. You're just trying to go through. You're going through all the teams, you know, numbers. You're looking at all the things that have happened. You know, who held the ball? Chicago's defense was on the field for 32 minutes against Tennessee. Okay, why? Go back through, and you're trying to just analyze. You're not trying to reach a conclusion of any sort. And then once you kind of have these three games in, now maybe we could find some patterns that we can sink our teeth in as it relates to last year and this year.
How's this for a data point for the Baltimore Ravens? Jameson Hensley, who covers the Ravens out there in Baltimore, reporting and showing video of Ravens running back J.K. Dobbins participating in individual drills after being activated off of the PUP list. So J.K. Dobbins looks like he's back in the fold out there in Baltimore.
Well, that's good for them, right? I mean, they need him there, and you know, and I think if he's holding out, I mean, we had Jason Lockefour on yesterday, and he went through the whole thing for us, and he tried to make the case as delicately as he could for J.K. Dobbins having a reason to hold out. But let's face it, there really is no reason for him to hold out. He's had 2 years, you know, he was on IR for a whole season. So, like, you know, let's play a good year before you start worrying about getting a new contract. I know he averaged over 5 yards a carry, but let's just wait.
Yeah, let's put something together here before we start asking for money. I agree with that point. All right, we got 5 minutes left. Let's do a little right move or wrong move, talking some NFL Week 1 markets. And these are the differences from open, when the numbers opened back in May when the schedule was released, to right now since things have kind of been bet. So some Week 1 line movement that we have in the AFC West showdown in the Rocky Mountains. Denver, opening a 3-point favorite, has now moved to 4.5. Right move or wrong move?
Wow. I don't know why it would move. I mean, how about that? Denver looked bad. Their execution wasn't very good. And the Raiders really look good, you know? So I can't explain that movement at all other than, you know, nobody feels like Garoppolo's going to be the quarterback that he was. I can't explain that move at all, Femi. That's shocking to me.
My guess, what's behind it, is that early season altitude, that's been a trend that's been played over the last decade plus or so, where it's like the Broncos in those first 2 weeks when they have a home game tend to have like an extra home field advantage because they're playing at elevation and teams don't necessarily have their legs underneath them at that point. Like, you kind of see the market sort of play on that. That's my read on that. And also optimism around Sean Payton and all that stuff from the head coaching change going from Hackett now to Payton. So that, I think those combination of those two things is what's driving that move, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, look, that may be the case, and certainly that Denver does have a distinct advantage when they open at home. I always felt like it was a way for them to get off to great starts. But, you know, the offensive line didn't look good. Again, not a rush to judgment. And the quarterback, to me, looked like he was not comfortable. And that is a judgment you could make, because quarterbacks you can evaluate in the preseason. You can reach a conclusion after one game. You can't about a team, but you can't about a quarterback. And I think, to me, especially a veteran quarterback, should I say, not a rookie, not a young quarterback. I think, you know, to me, I was disappointed in Wilson, you know, ability to stay in the pocket, really take the hit and not get balls batted down and make good throws. He didn't do that.
This next game, Cleveland Browns home dogs against the Cincinnati Bengals, opened +2.5. Now it's +1. Right move or wrong move?
Well, I think it's the right move because we're uncertain about the quarterback, right? I mean, is Burrow going to play? We don't know. And we saw him jog around in the pregame of the Green Bay game. But, you know, that I saw that video. To me, that doesn't make any sense. I mean, there's no conclusion you could draw. He put no stress on that foot at all. Mm-hmm. He was jogging around. It was a good, you know, go get the limo. Go. It's a val. As Sebastian Maniscalco says, that was a valet jog. You know, going to go get a valet jog in there.
Yeah, no, he was not putting any stress on that thing. And that's what the calf injuries and why they can linger, because once you actually do put stress on it, maybe it doesn't respond in the way that you hoped. So hopefully Burrow can get healthy. But I think that uncertainty, I think it's probably the right move. How about this one? The Falcons go from 2.5-point favorites to now in some spots 3.5-point favorites. So it's now 3 in the hook hosting the Carolina Panthers week 1. Right move, wrong move?
Well, I think it's the right move based on what the market saw. And again, this could just be based on perception, but the perception was Carolina couldn't block anybody. And even though Atlanta's not exactly the fearsome foursome up front, you know, you got to be concerned about your young quarterback and all that. So, and I think a lot of this too is Frank Wright's inability to start, right? I mean, Frank Wright's got to assume some liability here too, right? His teams get off to a bad start, and it was confirmed. Again, we're looking for trends. We're looking for, you know, something that we could put together. We're looking for indicators, right? We know Wright doesn't start well, and what he did in that preseason game wasn't very impressive.
Yeah, I think it's a couple things going on. It's people like to fade rookie quarterbacks in their first starts, especially when they happen to be on the road. And then also Frank Reich is starting to put together a number of seasons of his teams playing poorly in September. You have those two things working together. You can see why the market likes Atlanta in that spot. I've been looking to fade Atlanta, and I really wanted to bet Carolina, but the more I think about it, I might just pass the game. Like, this might not be the right spot to fade Atlanta. Maybe they come out and start well.
My instincts were to bet Carolina just because I like their team. But that was instincts. There's not enough evidence for me to say do this, right? Like, I just don't see it. Again, I'm going to give Carolina another week or so, but it might be a stay away from me, especially if that line's, you know, if it's under 3, maybe you take Atlanta, but I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think
Carolina was disappointing.
Yeah, they were disappointing, and like we say, like, this is a bonus pro tip. You don't have to bet every game. You know, if it's a stay away, it's a stay away. The other opportunities will come up throughout the regular season. All right, that does it for us here on the Lombardi Line. Thanks once again to our guests, Mike Triplett of New Orleans Football, Mike Pritchard, our VSiN NFL analyst. Thank you to you, Michael Lombardi. I will talk to you on Thursday with another edition of the GM Shuffle podcast. The new Monday edition just dropped right now in your feed, so check that out wherever you get your podcast. Thank you to our producer, Elliot Bowman, behind the glass. For Michael Lombardi, for Elliot Bowman, the entire crew behind the glass, we wish you all the best of luck. VSiN Best Bets is coming up next.